Scripture reading for today is taken from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Paul writes this in the middle of verse 7. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. It's a great movie out there called, great movie, I've just blown the intro to that, a very silly, funny, goofy movie called Bruce Almighty, but I really enjoy the movie very much, that describes what it means for an individual. The individual is a guy named Bruce, who was very self-absorbed, a man who thought only of himself, a man who was entirely devoted to his own career goals, his own relational goals. People were meant to bow to him. And he's given this very interesting change in his life where he is given all the powers of God Almighty to wield at his disposal. And the whole movie is an outgrowth of what it means for him to really understand what it is to be God. To go from this person who has complete and utter self-absorption, and the movie, of course, ends in a way in which he begins to see himself for what he really is. And in the little movie, he's tasked with the job of answering prayers. And all the prayers are ringing in his head in a way that's completely debilitating. And he tries to find various ways to organize them. He tries file drawers, which take up his entire apartment, and then post-it notes, and he decides to do a download of all the prayers of the world onto his hard drive of his computer. And then engage in the task of trying to answer all the prayers with his hands, only to realize that as he's typing in all the answers to the prayers, the prayer list keeps growing and growing and growing, such that he has to summon almighty powers to bring Juan Valdez to his window so he could have a cup of coffee to survive answering more and more prayers. And he realizes that he just simply cannot keep up. And what he makes a fatal mistake of doing is he does a bulk select of all the prayers and just says yes to them all, not realizing the damage that will be done for everything just being given to people as they ask it. Fascinating, fascinating show. And it's meant to describe what it means, what God is actually doing in and through us, moving us from a place of self-centeredness to a place of trust in Him. And prayer is really the means by which this entire process plays out. He starts from being someone who is answering people's prayer to, in the end, he's actually praying prayers for himself. And when we look at the Bible, the prayers of the Bible, they follow along the same belief of God's sovereignty. When you pray to God, it starts from a place of believing that He has control of our lives, to believe that He is working out His purposes in the world, and The prayers of the Bible are fascinating, though, and they wonder why he hasn't done this or that, or why he's allowed this and not punished that. And they even float the question, where are you, God, in the midst of this? Have you left me? Good biblical prayers appeal to God as the only one capable of helping. They appeal to his goodness, to his righteousness, but they often question his timing. And they keep coming back, though, again and again to him. They know when they seek their answers elsewhere, they are disappointed. When they seek apart from him, they are left in deep mourning and pain. And often these prayers that are intended to go to God come through times of deep suffering. The evidence of this is throughout the pages of the Bible. It is in times of great pain and distress and persecution and suffering that people pour out their hearts to God. Lord, why? Lord, help. Lord, speak to me. Lord, vindicate me. It is interesting that when life is going well, when we feel like we have a certain degree of control over the events of our lives, we are often too busy to pay attention to God. And that prayer and worship and seeking him and his word become secondary matters in our lives. But then, bam, the devastating blow hits through circumstances or importance, and everything we thought was so important to us quickly becomes secondary. And God's sovereignty in our lives comes back to center stage. Do we trust it? Do we believe it? And we see this clearly in the Psalms of David, where David pours out his heart in the midst of his suffering, praying in Psalm 6, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Well, the Apostle Paul experienced many hardships in his own life, even while experiencing life-changing success on the mission field. Think about that. He's planting churches throughout the known world at the time. He's having success in his ministry, and yet he's struggling. And in 2 Corinthians, we have this important passage in which Paul prayed in the midst of his own personal suffering. And we're not told precisely what Paul was struggling with. Many commentators have ventured guesses. Is he struggling with persecution? Is he struggling with a physical ailment? Is he struggling with a psychological disorder? Is he struggling with deep distress and personal disappointment in his life? We're not told. But what we are told is it was a thorn given to him. And the wording here is interesting because the way in which the sentence is phrased, Paul believes that what he's experiencing is the result of evil taking a shot at him, while at the same time, God is the one who is intending to work that out for his own good. The thorn was not good. It was from evil. It was so painful and debilitating that Paul prayed desperately for it to go away. Yet, Paul says this was given to him. Why? He says this, "In order that I will not become conceited." What does Paul mean here? Paul was not incapable of self-reflection. He understood that there were parts of him that God was fashioning and changing. He didn't offer excuses. He understands that even the evil he is enduring is being used by God's will to change him, lest he get too arrogant about his own life and his own spiritual excellence. You remember the story of Joseph and his brothers from Genesis? Joseph is sold into slavery. I mean, he's completely blindsided. They throw him in a pit. They leave him for dead, and eventually he gets picked up and becomes put into slavery, and eventually becomes the right-hand man to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who was instrumental in saving the lives of his brothers and people throughout the region during a drought. And when he's later reunited with his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Whatever the thorn was, it was painful enough for Paul to cry out to the Lord three times. Three times here isn't a sign of giving up too soon. It's a biblical expression of prayer. Daniel offered prayer three times a day. Jesus himself prayed three times for God to take away what would soon be his death in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Take this cup from me, and not what I will, but what you will." And Paul pleaded for God, and God answered, though not as Paul hoped he would. The answer came. God did answer in the midst of his struggle, but the answer was this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's the answer. Not the absence of the struggle, but that you should trust in grace. God does not solve the problem after three prayers. God does not destroy the messenger of Satan with the flick of his finger, but he does answer. He wants him to see the present place in which he's in as a place of grace. It's tremendously interesting that Paul is denied an answer, and more importantly, Paul is not denied grace in the midst of this evil. You would think that grace would include an immediate solving of the problem, and if the problem is not solved, then grace must not have been given, but it's not the case here. Grace is given, and Jesus tells him it is enough. And of course, the hope is that answers will be seen in time, but how does Paul respond? He says God's answer is enough for him. He doesn't pout, he doesn't whine, he does not say, fine, I've had enough of this. Paul simply says it's enough. Somehow, in the purposes of God's sovereignty, I'm going to have to deal with this, for this is going to be used for my good. And in fact, Paul goes even further, vowing not even to complain. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is the paradox of the gospel, that an ultimate end to suffering is won through suffering, that death is defeated in a single death, that sin is defeated by one enduring sin for us. The most powerful event on the world has ever seen was displayed in crucifixion. So when God seems absent, when it appears as if he's not moving like we think he should, the answer is still, my grace is sufficient for you. When we're learning hard lessons in life, those lessons that deep down we need to learn, the answer is, my grace is sufficient for you. We are caught in the midst of something that is perplexing. The answer is still, my grace is sufficient for you. But what we need most in times of suffering is ultimately not a circumstantial change, but we need to pay attention to God. And this is what prayer does. It reorients our priorities in times of suffering. It changes what we want to what we need. It moves our focus from ourselves and others around us to the one who is really in control. It is the means by which we are told in no uncertain terms that God will bring us through this. I don't know what thorn might be in your side, but the way to grow through suffering is to know that God's grace in your weakness is actually your strength. And therefore, you might, in the end, be able to say, in order to prevent me from becoming arrogant, a thorn was given to me. In order to prevent me from becoming too selfish, a thorn was given to me. In order to prevent me from becoming too bitter, a thorn was given to me. In order to prevent me from becoming too judgmental, a thorn was given to me. In order to prevent me from drifting too far from God, a thorn was given to me. In order to prevent me from relying too much on myself, a thorn was given to me. In order to prevent me from turning away from true love to a false imitation, a thorn was given to me, so that I might know that his grace is sufficient for me. My grace, the Lord says, is sufficient for you. Trust in his word in this fact. Let's pray. Lord, help us to believe what we've sung, that your grace is enough. And that grace is what we need, and that through grace brings warmth and light in the midst of darkness. Help us to trust that your grace is sufficient for us. Prepare our hearts as we come to this table to be reminded of the grace that comes to us in Jesus Christ, for we pray it in his name. Amen.